So how does science work? Environmental science is based on the scientific method. This begins with an observation, which leads to a rigorous and methodical investigation, creating reproducible results, which is followed by peer review and debate. What sort of observation is needed? This might be the identification of a problem. The next step is to review what is already known about the problem. Once you have your collection of already known data, you can combine it with your question, and this will help you formulate a hypothesis or possible explanation for the observed data. For example, Borman and Likens collected data near cleared forests that showed differences in the earth when compared to other undisturbed areas in the forest. This data helped them formulate their hypothesis that clearing forests affects the retention of soil nutrients and water. Once you have formulated a hypothesis, you should make testable predictions that will help direct the design of your experiments. You should be able to say, if the hypothesis is correct, then I should expect this particular outcome. Without predictions, it may not be clear if your results support your hypothesis or not. Now you are ready to conduct your tests, which may involve experimentation, models, or further observations. If you have isolated your variable and made logical predictions, then the data should help you decide whether to accept or reject your hypothesis. You are not done after your first data collection. Don't forget that reliable science depends on the reproducibility of results. So what is the difference between a hypothesis and a theory? A scientific theory is a hypothesis or collection of hypotheses that have yet to be rejected based on the results of experiments and generally have lots of supportive data. Now let's take a look at the most fundamental components of life and the environment. These are matter, which is anything that has mass and takes up space, and energy, which is the capacity to do work or transfer heat. Matter is composed of elements like gold or carbon, things that cannot be broken down further by chemical interactions. Matter can be made up of just one element or a combination of different elements called compounds. Elements and compounds are composed of atoms, the smallest unit of an element. Atoms are composed of even smaller components of matter, which include positively charged protons, negatively charged electrons, and uncharged neutrons. This may sound confusing, so try remembering the order. Protons, neutrons, and electrons make atoms, atoms form elements, and elements combine to create compounds. It might help you to make a mnemonic to remember this order. For example, patient Norman enjoys all classes. Atoms can exist with unequal numbers of neutrons and protons, which are called isotopes, and unequal numbers of electrons and protons, which are called ions. This means that ions have either a positive or negative electric charge. Protons and neutrons are used to determine mass, so this means that different isotopes of the same element will have different atomic masses or mass numbers. The way that matter changes is very important. So what kind of changes can matter undergo? All matter can undergo two basic types of change, a physical change and a chemical change. Physical change does not change the arrangement of atoms. So if we freeze or melt water, the molecules change their spatial arrangement but not the atoms. Chemical change, on the other hand, does change the arrangement of atoms, but it cannot change one type of atom into another. Chemical change is brought about by chemical reactions. Neither physical change nor chemical change can create or destroy matter. This is known as the law of conservation of matter. What role does energy play in the environment? Like the law of conservation of matter, energy cannot be created or destroyed. This is known as the first law of thermodynamics. So if energy cannot be created or destroyed, then the quantity of the energy in the universe does not change, but its quality does. Energy can and does change form. However, it cannot happen without a loss of usable energy. This means that it will not disappear, but some of the original energy will be converted into a form that is not usable. This is usually heat given off at low temperatures. This is known as the second law of thermodynamics.